sanctuary, both those of you here today with us, as well as those joining us online, as we are continuing a new message series, Heroic Faith. Heroic Faith. Now, we each have our own challenges, don't we, about struggles in life. None of us is immune from any of that, and yet it turns out that many of the familiar faces that we find in the Scriptures also had their own issues. So last week we saw that Abraham walked by faith with God, even though he didn't know exactly where he was going. And we remember talked about how sometimes God invites us to take divine detours. And that ends up many times turning out even different than we thought. But the good news is he is always with us, even when we don't think we are going to make it. So another thing that we all deal with today is this: our culture presents us with all kinds of choices. All kinds of choices. On this week ahead, when we are getting ready to celebrate our nation's independence and all of the freedoms that have been won for us, we are grateful for all of our freedoms and the choices that we have. And yet, all our choices, do they not come with great responsibilities? One big choice that we have is, hey, who am I going to hang out with? Who are my peeps going to be? And of course, our family. You know, our family has often been a big influence in our lives, but we also make choices about our friends, the groups we hang with, our affiliations. So that's a big question. Who am I going to hang with? Here's another one. What am I going to do? I mean, wow, what great choices that we have throughout our land. We have freedom to launch out in whatever direction we want to and try to carve out for ourselves a bit of the American dream. And it seems at times the possibilities are endless. And yet, do we pursue our dreams solely on the basis of self-interest? What's in it for me? Or are we thinking about, you know, how do I treat other people as I'm trying to find my place in this America as well? That's another big choice that all of us has. Still another one is, hey, which God am I going to follow? Oh yes, we are grateful for our freedom of religion protected by the First Amendment of our Constitution. We are free to pursue any God or religion that we so choose. But then, which God am I going to follow? Will it be the God of the Bible, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Peter and Paul and Mary and Jesus, or the God of some other faith tradition? Or will it be a God of my own shaping? You know, that's what's kind of cool today for so many people. Hey, you know, I can just kind of put it together that in a way that's comfortable for me. Or there's always the choice of no God at all. So yes, we celebrate all the freedoms and the choices we enjoy in America, but are there responsibilities and consequences that come along with our choices, our freedom? And of course, the answer is yes. We kind of sense that within, don't we? And so we sometimes are pleased with our choices, and then sometimes we're not. Sometimes we think, you know, I did good. And other times we know, man, I messed up. Like the guy who says, I married my wife for her looks, but not the one she's been giving me lately. The Apostle Peter reminds us of the battle that we often feel when he says in 2 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I urge you as what? Aliens and strangers in the world to what? Abstain from sinful desires that war against your soul. There is this spiritual battle that is going on. Our founding fathers understood this. They said, we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. They recognize there is a Creator. In the Declaration of Independence, they appealed at one point to the supreme judge of the world. They acknowledged a higher power from whom true justice and righteousness emanated. And if we are created in the image of God and the likeness of God, then it makes sense that we would have some responsibility for our various choices and actions. So we do. We know. Freedom, responsibility. The good news is God loves us and God cares for us and God is very interested in helping see us make good choices, God-honoring choices, so that we can live life full and abundant as He has designed it. I'm preaching this series to help us to look at the lives of those who have gone before us, who faced difficult circumstances, who faced difficult choices, but who stepped out in heroic faith with God, and He blessed them, and He helped see them through. That's what God wants for us. We need to learn from those who have gone before us. Amen? So I want to suggest to you this morning another person from the Bible who exercised heroic faith. He started out as a prince of Egypt, but then became a shepherd, and eventually he was called by God to go back and deliver His people. His name, you know him, Moses, and his heroic faith helped him make God-honoring choices. You see, Moses, he faced some tough choices. Who was he going to identify with? Who were his people going to be? Was he going to align with Pharaoh's house or with the people of God? Who were the people he were going to call his own? In Hebrews, this book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the great faith chapter. So the writer, he's giving an account of all the great heroes of the faith. And he says this about Moses. He says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time." Moses, he grew up in Pharaoh's house. But eventually, he faced a choice. Should he continue to live in Pharaoh's house with all of its pleasures and pleasantries, or should he identify with his own people, the people of God? You probably remember the story, Exodus chapter 2. One day, he saw an Egyptian who was beating an Israelite, a Hebrew slave, and Moses said, "I got to do something." He ended up probably overreacting, but he killed the Egyptian and had to flee for his life. And as you know the story, he went to a place called Midian, and there he married, he had a child, and he was a shepherd. And this went on for some 40 years. And it was also during this time, eventually, that God called him through a burning bush and said, "Moses, I need you to go back to Egypt to help set my people free." Well, Moses struggled, remember? He didn't think that he could do it. "I'm not eloquent. I'm not a very quick thinker on my feet. Lord, isn't there someone else who can do it?" How many of us have been there? "Lord, there's got to be someone else." But eventually, Moses agreed to go. He made a heroic decision. He decided, "I'm going to identify with my people, the people of God. Even though they're enslaved in Egypt, I'm going to go back. I remember the palace life, power and privilege, but instead I'm going to follow the call of God on my life to obey what God wants me to do, help set the people free." So what caused Moses to go back and do it? That's always a great question. And what is it that causes us to do at times what God is calling us to do? I would say this: Moses' experience with God gave him the courage to keep walking. So he had this burning bush experience, and God says, "Moses, I want you to go." And it begins this conversation, and eventually he goes, and God says, "I'm going to be with you." And then there was in front of Pharaoh all those times, and Pharaoh is saying, I'm not going to let you go." And Moses said, "Well, this is what God says then." And there were these plagues, and he saw God's power in the midst of that. And then there was the experience of I'm headed toward the Red Sea and the Egyptians are coming behind us and how's this going to work? And God says, trust me. And Moses saw the sea parted before his eyes and the people of Israel walked through it. And then there's Mount Sinai and God says, come up on the mountain. He delivers to him the law, the Ten Commandments. And in all of these experiences, Moses, he's getting to know God. He's getting to understand who God is and his relationship with God. That is what gave him the courage. His experience that God is real gave him the courage to keep walking in faith. And you know what? That's what does it for us too. When we have our own real experiences of God's power and his presence in our life, that is what lights a fire. And I tell you what, I hope that you, I love to hear people call me up and say, Pastor, or they write me a note and say, I want you to know about this God experience that happened in my life just this week. I love to hear those stories. And those stories, as we share them with whomever we can, are the things that spark faith in the hearts and lives of other people as well. Well, the writer to Hebrews said that in his day, Moses, who was kind of a prefigure of Christ, would also set people free. Moses was looking ahead. He was looking ahead to his reward. Hebrews 11:26. He, Moses, regarding the disgrace, it's talking about the cost of identifying with God's people, for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was what? Looking ahead to his reward. Moses was looking ahead by faith to what would come in the future. Moses was a hero of faith. He became a hero of faith when he decided to identify with the people of God. He said, you know, some things are just more important than wealth and power and prestige. He identified with God's people. He said, yes, I am willing, Lord, to go and set the people free. He looked forward to his future reward. He trusted in the God of his ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he looked forward by faith to the promise that God would ultimately fulfill in the coming of his son, Jesus. So here's the good news. Because of Moses' example, you too can be a hero of faith. You too can make heroic choices that will help you to thrive spiritually. You can choose, hey, I am going to identify with God and his people. This is my God, and these are his people. And here's the news. God has his people spread out literally all over the world. And that is an amazing thing. Another thing you can choose to say is you can say, you know what? I am going to purpose to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm also going to love my neighbor as myself. Now you do that, that is living life with purpose and meaning and significance. And when you do that, God says, I'm coming with my power, with my spirit to help. And then you can choose another thing, to accept God's love for yourself most vividly displayed in his son, Jesus Christ, by accepting him as the Lord and Savior of your life. That actually is the first step in your spiritual journey. And it's a step that we can take anytime. You can take that step today. You can take it anytime. Now, these are the heroic faith choices that when we make them, they can cause the Holy Spirit of God's power to come alive and with fire into our hearts, our souls. And there are some more practical steps that I want to talk about as well to continue to make these good choices, these heroic choices, God-honoring choices. Here's one idea. Let's travel lightly. Let's make heaven your permanent home. Before he fled from Egypt, Moses had experienced, remember, all the world had to offer. Living in Pharaoh's house, being a part of his family, Yet by the time he left, Moses had decided, I'm going to travel lightly for the rest of my life. He had decided, you know what? I'm not going to get caught up again in the trappings of this world. Money, power, the prestige, all of that, none of that really, he realized, held any real satisfaction. And in the end, here's the thing, idols, in whatever form we're shaping them, or in whatever form we're running after, they will not make us happy either. Our quest for them will either do one of two things. They'll either weigh us down or they'll wear us out. Running after idols will wear us down, or they'll run us down or wear us out. Philippians 3:20 says this, but our homeland is where? Heaven, where our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is. Don't get caught up in the trappings of this world. Make heaven your permanent home. One very practical way to do that is by practicing biblical stewardship. Taking some of the money that God has blessed us with and joyfully giving that money away. Hello? Travel lightly. Give some of it away. Jesus said this in Luke 6:38. Give, and he said, and it's going to be given unto you, pressed down and runneth over. He said it in another place, Luke 20:35. It is, in the end, more blessed to give than to receive. And he lived that out, didn't he? He lived that out. One of the reasons God commands us to practice biblical stewardship, to give the tithe, the tenth of our income, is so that we won't get our priorities mixed up, so that we will understand that this world is not our permanent home. Next thing, if you're going to be a hero of faith like Moses, fellowship wisely. Fellowship wisely. Identify with God's family, with God's kingdom. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 2:19. Now you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven, but you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Moses discovered who his true family was. He was a member of the household of God. The best way for you to discover who your true family is the people of God, is by connecting with the church, by joining in its fellowship, the Big C Church. With God, all things are possible. And as we identify ourselves with God's people, as we connect with and minister to and with other people, it is amazing how we begin to find our faith coming alive. I don't know how many people have told me, you know, Pastor, I've attended church for all these years, and then I heard about this new thing that was happening, and I heard God say, get involved in that. That just lines up with your passions and what's going on in your life in this season. And they say, man, it's like everything is new to me as I've gotten involved in this new thing that is happening through the church or wherever. Another thing. Eat well. Focus on God's provision. If you want to be more than just a survivor in this world, then you're going to have to learn to eat well. You're going to have to learn to feast on God's provision for your health, His holy word. Amen? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and what? Is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us what to do, teaches us to do what is right. How many times have I been reading my Bible in the morning early and all of a sudden, bam, it just is right there speaking to me. It's that verse right there says what you need to hear, because Bob, that is something that needs to come out of your life. It's crept back in. Boom! That passage right there. And that's why I've realized I got to be in this daily. I can't just, you know, I don't just put it on the shelf and pick it back up again on the next Sunday. I'm picking it up daily because I realize I need to hear it daily. I need it to confront me daily. I want God to be speaking truth into my life so that I'm walking as fruitful and as much of his power as I can. Finally, examine your choices. I don't know about you, but I'd rather just forget about some of my choices and be on my merry way. Hello? But God doesn't want us to be lukewarm Christians. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be on fire. So he encourages us to examine our hearts and our lives to see if we are living up to his expectations. So 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, check on yourselves. Are you really Christians? Do you pass the test? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you? Or are you just pretending to be Christians when actually you aren't at all? What kind of faith are we practicing? Are you just trying to get by, or are you seeking an experience with the living God that's changing you and transforming you? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you? One of the hardest things to do that I've found is to be real with God. God, I feel like I am pressing more and more into my relationship with you. Or, God, truth is, I'm not pursuing you. I'm not taking the steps. I'm just floating. But I don't want to. I want more of what you have for me. Every day we have these significant choices. I believe the power of God is all around us, but are we tapping into it? Are we taking the steps? Are we making heroic choices? Remember this, through heroic faith in Jesus Christ, you can thrive. He is the only one who gave his life as a ransom for your sins and for mine. His body was broken. His blood was shed. He is the living bread who came down from heaven. When you say yes to faith in Jesus, it sets you apart. It makes you different. It enables God to move mighty in you and through you. And your faith comes alive. And you are somebody who says, I'm not just surviving. My faith is thriving. And I'm thrilled to hear and experience what God is doing in my life. Let's pray about that. Amen? Let's pray together, you and me. Oh, Lord, we're thankful. Heavenly Father, gracious Master, loving God, we thank you for the life that Moses lived before us. He, as we've seen, he made heroic choices to answer your call and identify with the people of God. He gave up a lot, but he gained even more too. Lord, help us to travel lightly. Help us to identify more and more with your kingdom and your calling than this world and its trappings. Help us to examine our own choices, to consider our own life with you, Lord. What is it that we can celebrate? Yes, you love us and you care for us and you're putting up with us and you're calling us and you're helping us. Where do we need growth? In Christ. Lord, give us insight about these things. Steps we can take as we look forward. As we look forward in faith, and Lord, we thank you for Jesus. Though Moses looked forward to his coming, we have come to know him. We have had the opportunity, the choices to come to know him. Lord, if there's anyone who hasn't made that choice today, may they make it today. And Lord, help us otherwise to continue to make heroic choices day by day as we follow him. It's in his name, Jesus' name, we prayed. And everyone said, amen.